ago, and I couldn't find that scene. That's what I really wanted to use, you know, and I'll just show you a little bit, or not show you, I'll read to you a little bit about why Little Rascals movie stuck out in my head so much is, hope I don't need my glasses for this, we'll see. It says, here you, gentlemen, raise your right hand. No, your other right hand, sorry. It says, now I state your name. Member in good standing of the He-Man Woman Haters Club, do solemnly swear to be a He-Man and hate women and not to play with them or talk to them unless I have to, and especially never fall in love. And if I do, may I die slowly and painfully and suffer hours or until I scream bloody murder. Sound familiar, anybody? When I was a kid, we had a No Girls Allowed club, and I think the reason we had a No Girls Allowed club was because no girls would hang out with us. And that stopped when I turned about 26. But so today we're going to look at some of the, and you'll notice in the front it says No Girls Allowed. I tried to find a cover that was not offensive and yet explained what we're talking about. We are going through Timothy, and we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 8 this morning. So if you take your Bibles and turn to there, and we'll read that along. Read together in just a second. So somebody wrote a book in the 80s called, I think it was in the 80s, at least I saw it in the 80s, Men Are From Venus and Women Are From Mars, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a reason that book was written. It was because men and women were having a hard time understanding each other. And so that, we process things differently, we have different needs in our relationships, and we are different. We see life differently. I can look at something and my wife will see one thing and she'll look at it. But then when I look at something, I'll see something completely different. And so that's the one of the differences. It doesn't mean necessarily better or worse. It just means different. You know, feminists they've had a valid point for a while. They complain about the human society and how women how men dominate women, and how through most of history, women have been always oppressed and restricted, and they're second-class citizens. And if you look, people today are still shocked that in Afghanistan, a woman can be executed just for learning how to read. So it's still a problem, but it's just... There was a theologian in the second century, and his name was Tertullian, and he actually said, he was quoted as saying, women are the devil's gateway. I was saddened when I saw that, but that's the way at the turn of the century in 200 BC or AD, that's the way women were looked at. So look at 1 Timothy with me, chapter 2, verse 8. And I want us to pay attention. We're going to look at this several... I hope you change the way you look at the Scripture by the end of this message today. So verse 8 says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds and appropriate... with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent, for Adam was formed first and then Eve, and Adam was not the one deceived, it was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But when women will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith, love, holiness, and propriety. And I'm glad my wife's not here, because she would already be smacking me before we even got to the part of what it really means. So I want us to hear this, and you can tell my wife that I put a good spin on this thing, even though it's a tough piece of Scripture. Most guys, when they get to this section of 1 Timothy, they say, you know, why don't we just breeze over this a little bit, and then we'll just move on to the next section. Because the first part of Timothy is about prayer in the church. And so as you look at this, you think, well, what does this have to do with prayer in the church? And Socrates, believe it or not, said that women, being born a woman, was a punishment because women were halfway between man and animal. I'm just quoting Socrates. And women weren't allowed to vote in ancient Greece. They had little choice over who they married. And in Jewish society, they didn't fare much better. The rabbis were actually said, they prayed, "Thank you, God, for not making me a woman." Part of the rabbi prayer. And what happened was, women were not allowed to study Scripture. And so they were saying, "Thank you, Lord, for not making me a woman, because I wouldn't be able to study Scripture." I would hope that's what they meant. But what they said, in fact, one rabbi said, it would be better to see the Scriptures burnt than to hear its words come from the lip of women. And it's sad, but the reality is, human history has been about men oppressing women. You know, in this video clip, it's kind of funny to see Buffalo Bill and Annie Oakley go at it about who's better and who can do what. And, you know, there's a... When Jesus Christ came to the world, our attitude towards women changed. And the reason was because Jesus Christ came into the world. And we'll see this. Jesus taught that men and women were equal, but different. And we've been, you know, we've been studying this, this part of Timothy. And last week we learned about having accurate beliefs and spiritual practices and praying in authentic Christianity and how we pray. And we actually got together afterwards and we prayed. And today we're going to talk a little bit about Christian community and see how men and women are different in the context of the Christian community. So let's look at it this way. So let's reread verse 8. We have different temptations. I want us to see that, okay? I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothing, but with good deeds and appropriate for women who profess to worship God. So we start by asking the obvious question, how are men and women different? And, you know, I'm not talking about biologically, you know, that's obvious, obviously. But how we differ in the Christian community, and after we worship together, how we are different, men and women, and how we worship. And we're going to see that men and women face different things in worship. And in the Christian community, we face different temptations. As we looked at prayer, we talk about prayer, and we talk about this chapter. This chapter actually ties into prayer and public prayer in the church. And Paul starts talking to the men. And this is what he says to men. He says, "Lift up your hands in prayer." That was the normal prayer posture, by the way, in church, to lift your hands up and pray. They would lift their hands up and pray. Both Christians and Jews in the first century did this. This is their normal practice. And there are several references to in Scripture about lifting our hands in worship. But Paul seems less concerned about with our posture and more concerned about our hearts. He seems less concerned about this than he cares about this. And men in the congregation, apparently in this situation, men in the congregation were bickering about other things, and they were fighting amongst each other, and then they would come to church and put on a happy face and raise their hands, and they'd worship. And so what he's saying is, men, lift your hands in prayer. Lift your hearts in prayer. And outwardly, they were pretending to be something they weren't, but inwardly, they were filled with anger at each other. Because, you know, churches have always fought. It's not something new to us today because we fight about colors, we fight about carpet, we fight about paint, we fight about what we should do, what we should give, how we should do. It's always been that way. This is not new. This is just part of what being in church was about then. But Paul here is less concerned about the fights and the infighting as he was the hearts of men. They would put on a happy face and act as if nothing were wrong. Do you know anybody like that? Comes in Sunday, they're all just cheery, but Monday their life is falling apart. Or sometimes they don't even make it out of the parking lot before their life falls apart. We act as if there's nothing's wrong. And this is what the problem is with men. It's called, what's the big word I'm looking for? Hypocrisy. Men, it's hypocrisy. If we come in and we act like everything's okay and it's not okay, if we have all with our brother. Look, Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember the Sermon on the Mount? He says in Matthew chapter 5, I think we have it up here as well, chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar," what does it say to do? "And there you remember that your brother has something against you." I want you to leave your gift there. Leave it in front of the altar, and first go be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. Listen, we can't lift our hands in holy holy worship if we're holding on to anger. We just can't do it. Have you ever been so angry your fists are doubled up like that? Because when you get tense, you get angry, your fists do this. And I find myself when I get really angry, I'm driving down the road, my steering wheel has foam on it, and I busted the foam because I grab it so hard when I get angry, right? And I go, oh, and so what happens is we get tense and God says to let it go, go out and deal with your junk and then come back, right? And so, but when Paul says this, he addresses women and says, the original Greek he wrote, likewise also, because likewise also in this scripture, okay, Paul is saying that he also wants women to pray. He's saying, likewise also, women, you're going to pray as well. But here's your problem. You got some things you got to deal with. And he wants you to pray just as he wants men to pray with our whole heart. But the temptation that the women were struggling with in worship services was way different than the men. The men would have a tense week. They'd be all angry, come in there and try to pretend everything's okay. And then women, they have different kind of issues, okay? When it says women dress modestly, it means well-ordered. You know what I mean? It means well-ordered. Have your dress... dress well, dress right, well ordered. That's what it means. And we put definitions on right and wrong. When my kids get dressed in the morning, I have a teenage daughter now. The struggle is shorts. How short is too short? Listen, any pair of shorts is too short because I'm a dad, right? So if you're wearing sweatpants and a long sleeve shirt, you can leave. You're welcome to go. And so for me, that's right. For her, that's not right. You know, in school, when I remember when I was a kid, the rule in school was put your hands down to your side, and if your fingertips touch your leg, your shorts are too short. Right? And then they would send you to PE, and they give you these shorts that are like, you ever gone to PE with those shorts? I hated those shorts. Anyways, he calls women to dress modest, well-ordered, it refers to clothing that's not showy, not extravagant, or sensually enticing. Okay, he calls the Ephesian women to propriety, which means sensible judgment. Propriety does. And for Ephesian women, it was the opposite of modesty was braided hair. Gold and pearls and expensive clothing. And before you start looking around to see who's dressed like that today, I want us to look at the context of the verse, all right? The context of the verse and how it applies back then. It doesn't apply the same now. The attitude is the same, but it's different back then. Now, let me explain to you why. You see, the city of Ephesus, if you know much about Ephesus, they worshipped Aphrodite. Aphrodite was the god of sensuality or sex. We don't say that word aloud because it still embarrasses me, but it's the three-letter word, starts with S, ends in X. Anyways, god of Aphrodite. Her hair was braided and she wore gold, and that's how you associated yourself with a prostitute, was you had braided hair and gold. What he's saying is, in no uncertain terms, don't dress like a prostitute and come to church. Now today, I couldn't tell you how a prostitute dressed. I don't drive down there. I don't even know. But I'm saying probably you don't want to dress like one and come to church. And so these people were set aside because of that, because their hairstyles and their accessories were needed for that kind of thing. And so they would come in, and he's saying, don't dress that way. And so braided hair and gold was seductive. So he's saying, don't dress seductively in church. I can buy that, okay? And pearls and expensive clothing refer to dressing extravagantly. Difference between, you know, is that me? I think my battery's going out. I'm just going to shut it off.